The Source Podcast is brought to you by TechPont, a San Antonio company that uses cutting-edge digital technology to elevate marketing and advertising campaigns while reporting on transparent, measurable results. Their custom-built marketing strategies offer complete digital solutions and management. TechPont strives to help businesses connect with customers and effectively grow businesses. More at TechPont.com.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The crisis in Texas nursing homes with care for the aging population is no longer a quiet crisis. It's becoming more and more apparent as more and more adults seek help for their parents and for themselves. And when it comes to the state dealing with this problem, Texas is at the bottom of the list. We rank 51 out of 51 states and for the District of Columbia for a chronic underfunding of senior care. In the last legislative session, there was a plea to address this, but that plea was ignored. What is happening? How bad is it? What can families and individuals do to prepare for the need for elder care? Call in with your questions and comments. The number is 210-614-8980. Email us at thesource@tpr.org and tweet at us at @tprsource. We're joined this hour with Gloria Vasquez. She's the director of the Alamo Area Agency on Aging. It's a part of ACOG. And Gloria, welcome to The Source.
Thank you.
Carol Marek is here, aging alone expert and founder of the Elder Orphans Facebook group. Carol, hi.
Hi, good morning.
And Kevin Warren joins us, the Chief Executive Officer for the Texas Healthcare Association. Kevin, welcome to The Source.
Thank you for having me.
So, Kevin, I don't like throwing the word crisis around. Broadcasters tend to reach for that word far too often. So is this really a crisis? Am I overselling it?
No, I would say that it is. And I think what we've got here, when you look at long-term care, and I think in your opening you said it very well, it's really a lack of readiness and planning from a statewide perspective. We've got when you look at these low and unfortunate rankings that show us that we're one of the lowest or the lowest, you know, in the country, a lot of that has to do with the lack of staffing and a lack of workforce that's available. When you look at, as you mentioned, with the reimbursement rates, we are one of, if not the lowest reimbursed in terms of caring for nursing home patients paid for by Medicaid. We're one of the lowest in the country. In fact, we're roughly, on average, about $50 a day less than what the average state pays to care for its residents that are on Medicaid. And the last thing I would say, and this is where the crisis, when I talk about a lack of readiness, when you look at the growth in the 65 and older population in Texas, and what you see is that this is a population that is growing by leaps and bounds to the point to where data shows that between 2010 and 2050, this population is going to grow by over 263%. So as that population grows and as our state ages like we do, we've got to make sure that we've got a workforce available, we've got to make sure we've got the resources available, and we've got to make sure that we've got the training available to care for the needs of our elderly in Texas.
Gloria Vasquez with the Alamo Area Agency on Aging. What is that? What do you do?
The Area Agency on Aging is designated by the state to provide services to seniors or individuals over the age of 60. So we have very specialized home-based care services that we can offer at no cost to individuals in need. And it covers, ACOG covers 13 counties, so we're able to offer services to seniors in those counties.
So tell me more about that, because that sounds very important.
It's very involved. We have a variety of services that we can offer, based starting with transportation to in-home care, assisted care. We have ombudsmen who visit long-term care facilities to ensure quality and ensure that the residents' rights are being respected. So in terms of long-term care, that is one of the biggest areas that we find a great need in. As you mentioned earlier, the population continues to grow and the needs continue to grow. And what we find is that it's a topic that people really don't want to focus on and address while they can. And so what the result is, at the time that a loved one might need care, the options are very limited, and individuals are having to make decisions based on time as opposed to being able to research facilities that they want to put their loved ones in.
And y'all are specifically trying to help people age in place in
age
their homes.
Age in place, correctly.
Because you keep them out of these 24-hour care facilities.
Yes. The best thing is to try to plan in advance before your loved ones have that need, or for yourself even. You want to have a plan in place so that your wishes are granted. You get to express what you would like to do and how you want to live out the rest of your life.
And that's generally what your clients want. They want to stay in their homes.
Absolutely. It's the best place. We all want that. It's a very difficult decision to have to make for someone or to make for yourself. But again, when you get to the age that you need help and you can't stay in your own home is where you have to make that difficult decision of where you're going to go.
Carol Merrick with the Elder Orphans Facebook group. Is this population also facing, as they age, they're aging alone?
Oh, absolutely. You know, because of the high divorce rates of the boomer population, as well as children moving away from their parents, you know, we're a more transient and mobile society. So many older adults find themselves without anyone to rely on. And so it's not so much, well, it is single people who have never had children or even married, but it's also affecting those who have married or maybe even still married, but their children don't live nearby. And these folks have not prepared for what's ahead and how to, you know, plan for caring for themselves. Because that's the key, is we have to start planning, you know, take responsibility for ourselves and start planning, because many of us don't do that. And we wait until there's a event or an emergency, and then we're in a crisis. So I really encourage individuals to start planning right now how they plan, you know, how they want to be cared for, and start building a support system.
And these, they're alone. They don't have a network, a base of support, and they turn to what, each other on Facebook figure out what to do next.
Well, not necessarily depend or reach out to one another on Facebook, but we do encourage each other to either start a support system with your neighbors. Or it could be friends within the same city you live with. But it's just so important to maintain social connections, because that's where your support will evolve from.
And you also are helping people age in place.
That's about what we can afford, right? And so we have to find ways that we can do that safely and independently for as long as we can.
Well,
age in place.
So what do you mean by that? If it's like it's all you can afford, and then you have, I mean, it seems like this is something that it becomes almost, it's serious.
It's absolutely serious. Oh, absolutely. That's why we have to start planning sooner than later, so that we're not in a crisis situation, and we have to spend down our money, or we have to fight for our Medicaid dollars. So that's why it's important to start planning. And yes, it is a crisis.
All right, we're taking a break, and we're talking about senior care. What does the future look like? How are we preparing for it now? How much thought have you given it? Have you taken care of a parent? Are you doing so now? There's a trend of people having to multi-generational housing, because there is no room at the nursing home anymore. This is call in 210-614-8980. Listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about senior care. There are programs available through ACOG, the Alamo Area Council of Governments. They have the Alamo Area Agency on Aging. Gloria Vasquez is here to help us talk about some of the programs that y'all provide. So what is the number one thing that y'all can do for somebody? I mean, how do they first start accessing what you can do?
We have what we call our front door, which is the Alamo Service Connection. And it is basically a call center, but it is manned by live people. So when you call, you're not pushing one, two, or three and getting some automated system. You'll get a live person who will help you and talk with you, help identify your needs, and then also provide referrals for services. And sometimes those referrals do come to the Area Agency on Aging, to programs that we can provide the cost for, so it becomes no cost to the client. But we primarily offer benefits counseling. If you're needing more information on Medicare, Medicaid, again, you can talk to a certified benefits counselor who can give you information on that. We have caregiver services for individuals that are 55 and older and are caring for an individual that's 60 or over. And we have care coordination services where someone will come to your home, do an assessment, and kind of let you know what other services you might be eligible for. Again, all these are provided through funding by Health and Human Services Commission through the Alamo Area Agency on Aging, and we're able to work one-on-one with the client to, again, help determine their need and possibly meet that need at no cost.
So one of the things y'all provide out of a lot is residential repair.
Yes.
So what do you do and why is that important?
Residential repair is a program where we can offer assistance. We have some small amounts of funding for actual home repair. The housing stock in Texas is old, and people have not always designated funding for maintenance of their home and upkeep. So with that grant, we can provide roof repairs, limited plumbing, limited electrical. If an individual's at risk of losing their residence, if it's a rental situation or a mortgage situation, we can help them with that mortgage payment for a limited amount, as well as that rental assistance. We also provide grab bars, railings, ramps.
So modify the homes.
Yes, home modifications.
So people can stay in their homes.
Exactly.
And get around, and they don't mm-hmm. have to worry so much about falling, because we know that is a big concern.
Yes, mobility issues.
And so how do you qualify for something like that?
You call the Alamo Service Connection, 477-3275. Again, you speak to a live person. They'll ask you for specific information about yourself. We do ask income, but it's not a disqualifier based on your income. It's really based on need. And so they, again, a care coordinator will come out and do an assessment and let you know if you qualify for the services and which services. And like I said, most of them are at no cost.
210-614-8980. If you got a question or a comment about senior care and what's happening at our nursing homes or assisted living centers here in Texas. Kevin Warren is the Chief Executive Officer for the Texas Healthcare Association. And Kevin, I've got to imagine that with unemployment as low as it is right now and with the financial situation for many of these senior care centers, that's causing a problem for personnel.
It does make it difficult. When you look at employment numbers, you know, as blessed as our state has been with having these, you know, unemployment numbers as low as they are, you know, arguably so often you look and you say anybody that wants to work is working. And so what you find is that when you're looking at filling vacancies and filling openings within the facilities, whether it be in urban or rural markets, they're not necessarily competing with other facilities. They're competing with other completely different sectors, whether it's, you know, the food and beverage sector or, you know, within, you know, clothing sectors and all these other that have the ability to pay at a higher rate, to offer greater benefits. And so it makes it very difficult. And when you look at cost growth that is within long-term care and really in assisted living as well, what you're seeing is that growth is associated with the need to and the efforts to compete within the workforce.
Operators in nursing homes in Texas report 97% turnover for certified nursing assistants and 90% turnover for other key frontline caregiver positions. That's tremendous.
It is tremendous. And at the same time, it is it's amazing when you think of the care that the facilities are able to provide with that level of turnover. And again, that's an average, but that also means you're going to have some that have more and some that have less. And so that level of turnover affects affects care continuity and it affects the ability to really ensure day in and day out that the residents that these facilities have accepted the responsibility to care for, that they can provide that care. And it's one of these things I would say, too, it's why it's so important that, and I know, you know, Gloria and Carol both talked about getting involved early and getting involved often. One of the things that we always, that we encourage families as well when they're asking questions is, you know, stay involved and get involved, because you know your mom, your dad, your aunt, your uncle, whoever it may be, your spouse, you know them better than anybody else. And so that active involvement and being able to assist and identify and be able to communicate with the facility about what they like to eat, where they like to sleep, you know, when is it, what do they used to do for a living, things that make them comfortable and things that help improve and maintain that, that quality of care, it's just, it's really, really important.
Carol, Mark, tell us about what you're seeing as you interact with so many people with your Elder Orphans Facebook group. What kind of stories do you hear?
Oh, well, thank you for asking. Unfortunately, some of them are quite depressing. People have not planned at all, and they find themselves having to deal with severe chronic illnesses at home, not able to really socialize and be involved in the community, or even to pay a lot of their health care bills. You know, we have that set of individuals. And on the other hand, we have individuals who have planned. So we have an assortment of members in the Elder Orphan group. But unfortunately, I think as time evolves, and if we as the larger community or the larger state doesn't start dealing with these issues, you know, more and more of us will be in the first set of individuals that I talked about that are really grappling for paying for health care and paying for prescription drugs and really outliving their resources, their money, their savings. And that's the biggest fear that most individuals in my group worry about, is outliving their money and their savings.
And they can't work. They have no income. Social Security. What's up with that?
Well, they do have income. Unfortunately, Social Security doesn't keep up with the growing rates of, you know, higher rates of food and cost, right? Cost of living expenses, and of course, Medicare is probably one of the lesser amount of health care that we have to pay for. However, it's the drugs that we're, you know, that we have to pay for because of the growing chronic illnesses, as we grow older, unfortunately, we become more disabled.
So, Carol, if someone has had not planned, they deplete their savings. They realize Medicare will not cover the type of long-term personal care that older people often need. The Social Security check doesn't cover the cost of the care, which can easily exceed $100,000 a year if provided at a nursing home. Medicaid, only kicks in after you've depleted everything you've got and you no longer really have any assets. Then that's when that kicks in. But still, you have to go hit bottom for Medicaid to become a player here. Is that what you're looking at? Is that what some of these people have?
I think that's what some people face. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. If they don't plan to spend down over the years in order to qualify for Medicaid, unfortunately, then they are put in a crisis situation where they're unable to care for themselves in a place where they may not be able to afford and have to really be in a crisis type situation.
And your group, Elder Orphans, do they fear that they're going to die and no one will be there?
No one will come in, right. No one will even miss them or even know they're gone. And that's a real problem. As a matter of fact, it was a geriatrician in New York who really resurrected the term elder orphans, and that's the reason why I use it. I don't particularly care for it. However, it really depicts and really illustrates what we're facing in our society if we if individuals don't start planning ahead, as well as if the larger community doesn't start addressing this, these issues as well, we'll be dying in our homes with no one knowing we're even gone.
Gloria Vasquez with the Alamo Area Agency on Aging. Are you seeing this here locally?
We see a lot of individuals who, again, have not planned and have very limited choices in where they're going to spend the rest of their life. We're also finding that the extended family, when there is extended family, winds up bringing that person into their home and creating a caregiving situation, which is growing exponentially throughout the country with caregivers. But yes, again, our plea has always been think now, act now. It saves you and your loved ones some very difficult decisions in the future.
So if I bring in my parents or grandparents into my home and I'm going to care for them, are there resources to help me?
There's some limited resources, but when you look at the numbers that that we see, there's 3.4 million family caregivers in the state of Texas that provide day-to-day care for people, for loved ones that are older. That is an extraordinary responsibility for individuals to take on. And I don't know if this was a long-term a term back when, but the sandwich generation. So a lot of us are in that generation where we may still be caring for children, and now we're caring for our parents, and everyone's in the same home. And it becomes an increased burden on that individual to care for those two populations. There is some assistance, again, through the Area Agency on Aging. We can provide some respite care, which would give the caregiver time away from that mission and or care that they're providing to their loved one. We can have an agency that will come in and spend some time with the loved one so that the caregiver can get out of the house and take care of personal things that they need to address. We also have, we can provide for institutional respite care where the loved one can go on a temporary basis to a facility, again, giving the caregiver time off from the care. But yes, there's different types of resources. We can provide utility assistance for caregivers if, again, the financial strain becomes to the point that they need assistance with paying a utility bill, paying medication. We do have funding available for that as well.
The cost of hiring a home health care aide, that's what a lot of people try to do. If you're a frail parent there, that could still run you about $50,000 a year.
Absolutely. It is very expensive. And as they mentioned earlier, the expertise and the training of these individuals is very critical. And we find that that's on a shortfall as well.
And so we have many of these multi-generational housing, caring for the elder. Typically, that falls hard on the women to take care of,
yes.
And that seems to be unfair. But and we're seeing that we have them providing care, which there's a cost for that in the form of stress, lost wages, other lost opportunities to nourish other needs that those individuals have. We have kind of wonder how people can reach out and find support. And do you provide, you know, at least emotional support?
We do provide emotional support. We can provide assistance with counseling. But the biggest thing that we find is that many caregivers either don't self-identify, or once they become a caregiver, they lose their identity. And I'll give you a quick example of an individual who, it was a woman who was caring for her father. And traditionally, daughters are not in charge of dressing their father or bathing their father. And she found herself in this situation because there was no other choice. So she no longer was a daughter. She was a caregiver. So it's really an identity that is lost. And they really need that emotional support, and they need time away from the caregiving that they provide.
We're talking about senior care here on The Source this afternoon. We want to hear your questions and comments. What kind of planning have you done? What kind of questions about planning? Call in. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. We'll be right back.
Immigration.
I think we need to all get in before the wall goes up.
Health.
The Promotora, they have all the resources that can get them the help that they need.
Art.
There's this kind of subversiveness to it, right?
We cover all these topics and more on Fronteras as we examine issues along the border and beyond. I'm Norma Martinez. Download Fronteras where you find your favorite podcasts.
This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about the crunch that exists with senior care, not enough planning, a growing aging population, and a shrinking pool of resources to help deal with this, especially when it comes to our full-time care facilities, otherwise known as nursing homes. If you've got a question or a comment about that, 210-614-8980. We got an email from Andrea. I'm a social worker who works in a nursing home, and I see families struggle with these decisions. Also, a lot of direct staff in the nursing homes feel like they are not making a living wage. Let's go back to that with Kevin Warren. He's the executive officer for the Texas Healthcare Association. Now, the wages at these nursing homes, that's probably directly connected to the fact that Texas is paying so low for these nursing homes to take care of people, right?
That's correct, and Andrea brings up a great point when she talks about the staff, and you know in my 25 plus years experience in long-term care, just the number and the volume of dedicated, committed to caring for our elderly staff that I've come across is amazing. But at the same time, as Andrea mentioned, it's you know for them and the staff, it's about what does it mean to me at 5 o'clock and because when I leave here, I've got bills to pay, I've got families to care for, I've got other responsibilities at home, and in Texas as is elsewhere, when you look at it total, if you will, reimbursement that goes into the facilities, only about 10 to 12% of it is controlled by the facility, meaning that the facility can set the rate. The other 85 to 90% of their reimbursement is either dictated by the state of Texas or through or by the federal government. And so, so they have to really watch and control their costs to ensure that they don't get too out of balance, so where that they can continue to provide the care necessary and continue to care for their staff who are providing for that care on a daily basis.
So walk me through how that reimbursement formula works and how it varies from state to state and how Texas is doing it.
So across the board, so nationally, really about two-thirds of the resident days or 66% of the resident days in any nursing facility, that care is going to be paid for by the state through Medicaid. The state sets the Medicaid rate. And so that's why – so in our state – the current average Medicaid rate is roughly around $145, $146 a day.
Is that a mix of federal dollars and state dollars, or how?
It is. The state has a responsibility of putting up their what they refer to as their state share of that total. You also then have the federal match. There is also what's referred to as applied income, which is the amount that the family puts in as well. So that 146 number is a combination of those three. So that represents about two-thirds of the resident days in Texas. And then you have the next largest, which is Medicare. And Medicare is a temporary payment based upon when a resident who qualifies for Medicare and has an acute episode or a skilled need, and that could be they had a fall and broke their hip or had an acute illness that put them in the hospital for greater than 3 consecutive days, and then they would qualify for Medicare, and Medicare is paid for at the federal level. And so then, like I said, then the remainder of that is paid for by those residents who are able to pay privately, and that's really kind of the breakdown of how care is paid for in nursing homes. If you transition just real quickly, though, over to assisted living, primarily in assisted living, it is private pay, and it's a lower level of care need, but it's primarily private pay. There are some Medicaid providers or some Medicaid assisted living facilities, but primarily it is it's private pay.
And adult children typically would make up the private pay that goes into this care.
If they're going to make up it, or you know, whatever the retirement savings that the family that the that the individual who needs the care, whatever they're caring for. And I think that goes to what, again, to come back to something that both Carol and Gloria said. You know, when you look at long-term care, you know, unfortunately, oftentimes it's kind of it can be a just-in-time event, because and it spurs someone looking at it based upon, as I mentioned, this fall or a death of a spouse or an illness, and then we really start to pay attention to it, versus the importance of really stepping back and looking and finding out, you know, and sitting down with your loved one or sitting down with the person that may need it, and really getting a greater sense of, you know, what do their finances look like? What is the level of care that they need, and what would they be comfortable with, and having that conversation earlier than later.
Let's go to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Julie. Hi, Julie. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, I was just calling to talk about long-term health care insurance. Just to say that my husband and I made that decision. It's very expensive. I mean, it feels expensive, but compared to what the benefit is, if you need it, it's a huge benefit. And for us, it really was our thinking of it was, this is a gift we're giving our children, that they will not be faced with this exorbitant amount of money if we ever need to be in assisted living. And our policy actually covers everything from a nursing home to in-home care if you need it. So it really is something to think about.
Well, Julie, thank you for that call. Carol Marek, can you talk about what you have experienced with private long-term care insurance?
Well, most of the individuals are, as you probably know, most of our population don't buy long-term care insurance. It's those people like the caller, Julie, who wants to be prepared. And I know just a very few individuals who have purchased long-term care insurance because, first off, we don't want to think about the future in terms of growing older. It's not something we want to think about. And we certainly don't want to pay in advance for an insurance that we don't know if we're going to use or not, or we just basically want to sweep the issues under the rug, right, and not even think about it at all. But yes, long-term care insurance is, like Julie, she and her husband are very wise to invest in that type of insurance. But most people do not.
Insurance companies have very high premiums for this type of insurance care. Many have stopped even offering it.
That's correct. Oh, absolutely. Yes, they have stopped paying. They have stopped offering this type of insurance, as well as cut back on the types of services, unfortunately, that the policyholder would receive.
So let's go to another caller, Kimberly. Hi, Kimberly. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. So I'm 23, and my mom has multiple sclerosis, and I don't believe that she is classified as a senior. I know we're talking more about elderly care, but I'm curious what resources are available in our community, if any, to help someone like me or like my dad who's taking care of someone who's not quite there yet.
Kimberly, thank you for the call. So Gloria Vasquez with the Alamo Area Agency on Aging. You are also for people who are dealing with disability.
Yes, the Alamo Service Connection is actually the Aging Disability Resource Center. And you can call us and we will connect you with resources specific to your need. But there are opportunities in our community and throughout the state that can help fund your need for an individual with disabilities that is not necessarily 60 or over.
Is it pretty much like what you talked about earlier? You get an at home assessment.
Yes.
And they will come in and see what kind of programs you qualify for.
Exactly. It all comes down to the assessment. We have to find out what the real need is. And so our staff is able to conduct those assessments in home and then point you in the right direction to services.
Okay. Let's go to another caller, Lucy. And Lucy, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I am calling to I think we're right on the topic. I ask for resources, but really a clearer way to understand the resources that are available, it feels extremely complicated. I take care of my mother for half the year here in San Antonio, and it just feels overwhelming to get to opportunities for her, in some cases relief for us. Thank you very much.
Okay, and thank you for that, Lucy. So, Kevin Warren, let's talk about what the financial stress that some of these care facilities are dealing with. According to statistics, a quarter of them are financially stressed. We've seen some major providers, healthcare providers, senior care providers leave the state or go out of business. Are there going to be enough beds or places for people to go if we don't find ways to make this profitable?
Well, and I think that I think you hit the nail on the head, and that's why I said at the very beginning when we talked about there's just a lack of readiness and planning at the state level, and that we've got to work with the legislature and others that affect the decision-making in terms of from a Medicaid policy perspective, because you are correct that, you know, when you look at 2018, you had the largest nursing home provider in Texas file for bankruptcy. You had one of the largest providers in the country decide to leave the state, and there have been others that have filed for bankruptcy, and a lot of it, when you read literature about it, it's related to the Medicaid policy here and the lack of funding. There is the what's referred to as the Medicare Payment Advisory Commission. They advise policymakers on payments at the federal level. I've indicated that in long-term care, when you look at the average all payer, so you're talking private pay, Medicare, Medicaid, in totality. The average difference between cost and reimbursement is less than 1%. So what that means is that these providers are their real focus is just maintaining status quo.
They're just trying to stay open, keep the doors open. Okay, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. The number to call in is 210-614-8980. The source continues after this. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We're talking about senior care, caring for a growing elderly population that we have around us. And we're finding out that the state of Texas is in a poor position. We are at the bottom of the list when it comes to funding with the reimbursements for senior care. It's been called a senior care crisis. And so Kevin Warren, the Chief Executive Officer for the Texas Healthcare Association, this seems to be hitting certain parts of Texas harder than others. Like where is it the worst?
Well, you see it all over, but you know and you see it in both in rural markets and in the urban markets. And you know, so where the concern comes is let's take in the rural communities, is that if there are two or three facilities in a rural market and one can no longer stay open, and then they're forced to close, but yet the availability for those residents to move, that there's not enough space in the other two facilities. What does that mean then for those residents? Do they have to move 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 miles away to another facility? Even if they stay locally, it's the families and the residents getting used to new staff and to a new environment, and it's in the strain that puts on those residents. And so it really has a larger effect on in looking at each of the communities and recognizing the impact that these facilities have in caring for loved ones.
Back to the phone lines, 210-614-8980. Christina, hi. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, my name is Christina Bustamante, the admissions coordinator at the Sarah Roberts French Home. And I just wanted to offer, we offer a free program that's resources available for the community. They can come into our facility at the Sarah Roberts French Home located at 1315 Texas Avenue, San Antonio, Texas, 78201. we offer this resources twice a month. It's on Thursdays between 4 p.m. to 5:30 p.m. Anyone's welcome from the community to come in, and I'm the person that actually helps out with any information in regards of Medicaid pending to what is expected, you know, for the Medicaid that, you know, for them to get certified through the state. So the information is available, right, you know, for them.
Christina, thank you much for that. Kara Merrick with the Elder Orphans Facebook group, Aging Alone Expert. Dignity, how are we making sure that people are aging with dignity?
Well, the people that I work with or the people that I really, you know, kind of encourage to plan for the future, they're kind of on their own in terms of finding ways that, to live out their lives in terms of finding passion and connection and trying to, stay healthy, to stay healthy. So when it comes to growing older in terms of in maintaining dignity, to us, people who are aging at home alone really feel as if it's on them to make sure that they are well supported, as you know, and also, you know, live and thrive in their own community. Now, in terms of the larger community, it's the wonderful people like Gloria, you know, that who look out for us, who help us maintain our dignity and to live safely and independently, and to provide those services that we require to, you know, to maintain that type of status.
We have a question from Trevor from online. How can families offset the financial strain of caring for an elder? What resources are out there to help plan your finances accordingly? So Gloria Vasquez with ACOG.
Thank you so much for asking that question, because along the lines of dignity and protecting our seniors, we as a population need to make sure that we plan and that we speak up for ourselves. Through the Area Agency on Aging, we are fortunate to have funding that can help with legal assistance. So if you're an individual who needs to get a will or you want to get one for your parents, we can pay for that. Powers of attorney, advanced directives. There's something new on the horizon that's relatively new, couple of years, transfer on death deed for individuals who own a home. They can designate who they want that home to go to. But we are able to bridge that gap with the cost of getting those legal services. And again, you can access that information by calling Alamo Service Connection at 210-477-3275. But again, it's all about the planning and being prepared. And one other thing I'd like to mention very quickly is we have some significant health and wellness programs that, if you really want to age in place, maintain your health, do the best that you can to keep active, to keep your body in good shape, that you're eating the right kinds of food. We do offer health and wellness classes. Again, you can access that by calling Alamo Service Connection.
So Kevin Warren with the Texas Healthcare Association, there was hope that the legislature was going to address this shortfall in funding for our senior care facilities, but that didn't happen. What happened?
We had the industry had worked with the legislature to put forth a plan that would have not cost the state budget. It would have, as we talked at the beginning, you require a state share and a federal share. We had proposed a plan that was similar to what 44 other states do, where the providers are the ones that offer up the state share in order to address the Medicaid underfunding issue. This would have provided the state of Texas with the largest quality improvement program in the country, because the funding coming back, providers would have had to direct those additional resources towards particular programs, as well as half of the dollars would have to be earned based upon achieving measurable outcomes and improving quality of care. And unfortunately, it didn't move in either chamber. And so we have got to find a pathway forward to address the issue. Can I come, if you don't mind, David, can I come back to the dignity point? Because I think it's an important point, because the what I'll call the dignity continuum, if you will, is really not only in the communities like both Carol and Gloria are talking about, but it's the responsibility of the facilities and the staff in the facilities to ensure that as well, and to make sure that in recognizing that just because someone needs 24-hour care and is living in a facility or an assisted living or in a skilled nursing facility, it doesn't mean that they suddenly lose their right to choose. It doesn't mean that they suddenly lose their ability to make their independent decisions when they can. And that is one of the things that facilities have and the staff have responsibility for, and to make sure that as long as they can and as long as that they are able to, that they are involved in decisions related to their care and choosing what they can eat, and that they are addressed properly, meaning, it's sir and no sir and yes ma'am and no ma'am and Mr. and Mrs. and really ensuring that they maintain that dignity throughout their lifetime.
So, Gloria, y'all do audits for area senior care facilities?
We have ombudsman. Every licensed facility gets a visit by either a staff member or a volunteer who does go in, and they visit with the residents, and they help them address any concerns and, again, ensure that their rights are being respected. We don't do necessarily audits, but we do have a relationship with the state to where if there are issues within that nursing facility, we can contact someone, and they will come out. They will send their audit team out to take a look at that particular facility. But the ombudsman, again, are available to the family members, to the residents themselves, and they visit at least once monthly, many more times, much more often than that. But the state does require that those visits are made at least once a month. But we're able to discover a lot of different areas where we can be of help to the resident, and we kind of negotiate and work with the administration of the facility to ensure that the residents' rights and needs are being met.
So, Carol Merrick, with the aging alone situation, you're founder of the Elder Orphans Facebook group. It seems very, that we have isolation of these individuals. Does it have to be that way?
No, that's why the people or the members in my group, many of us are not isolated. However, some of us are. And it's when we get into a situation where we become immobile, our chronic illnesses affect us in a manner that we can't drive, or we have no energy, we're not feeling well, we don't want to leave our homes. That's when isolation really affects us and loneliness sets in, and then depression, and which exacerbates your chronic illnesses. So, it's really building a person. The individual needs to create to maintain social connection. And because it's that support that's really going to help you thrive as you grow older and you become more feeble, or if you get sick, you have others to rely on. And you can create community through either your faith organization, through nonprofit organizations, senior centers. It's even a Facebook group, because many of us in my group, we're alone most of the time. However, many of us are dependent on ourselves. So we're very resourceful. We have come up with our own solutions. And that's one thing I love about the group, is that we aren't dependent people. We find solutions for ourselves. So that's what,
I'm going to go to Gloria Vasquez last time with ACOG, Alamo Area Agency on Aging. How can people access you and get that audit for services?
Again, it's Alamo Service Connection, and we have a local number, 210-477-3275. If you're out in any of the rural areas, you can access us at 1-866-231-4922 and speak to a live person.
All right. That's Gloria Vasquez with the Alamo Area Agency on Aging. Carol Merrick is with us with the Elder Orphans Facebook group. Kevin Warren is the Chief Executive Officer for the Texas Healthcare Association. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. The Source is hosted by David Martin Davies, produced by Ken Johnson and Dallas Williams, with production assistance provided by me, Ruben Garcia, and Jan Ross Piedad. Dan Katz is TPR's news director.